style, trend, life in Seoul, Korea only, weekend destination, people interviews, and more you can find on 101.3 Main Street.
For Main Street Book Club, we welcome back our guide to Korean literature, Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University and the founder of the Korean Literature in Translation website, ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Morning, Chung-Kin.
So we are going to go into a specific book today, or maybe two.
Well, yeah, time allowing. Because last week in my overview of Korean literature, during the course of it, I mentioned Wax and Wings.
Yeah.
And you asked me, oh, who is in that? And I completely blanked, which was unfortunate because it really is my favorite collection. And it is the collection that I, as I said last week, probably is the best entree point to Korean literature at this point. So in the interest of those who might be interested, I wanted to talk about this today and, if, as you said, if time, one other book we mentioned last week.
Mm-hmm. It's the complete title is Waxen Wings, the ACTA Korean Anthology of Short Fiction from Korea.
Yeah. In fact, that is drawn from Amazon website, and it's ACTA Koreana, which is
ACTA
a magazine.
Koreana.
Yeah. That's
like a journal.
Yeah, a journal.
Okay.
And so these, I think, were all published first there. And mm-hmm. as I mentioned, it's to me, it's sort of a breakthrough in the translation and publishing of Korean short stories, because it's the first collection of short stories that I read where every single story was interesting as a work of literature and not just as an attempt to communicate something of Korean culture,
mm-hmm.
at the same time communicating plenty of Korean culture. And as I said last week, the beauty of this kind of approach is that there's that old saying in English, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And in this case, that's really, really true. This book is highly sugared, if you're going to use that. And the volume is really easy to read. It basically goes in order, but one of the things that it does that I found very interesting, and I never thought I'd say this about a translation, is that it kind of skips the colonial and division periods of literature.
Oh, is that a good thing? I mean, those are important moments in Korean history, moments that help to shape Korean history.
Yeah, they are, and there's always this tension, but they're also two of the most difficult periods for English readers to understand.
Western readers to understand.
Right,
okay.
And this book kind of gets around that in two ways. One, by not spending a great deal of time on it, and two, by choosing sort of two very different approaches. The first book that is about the Japanese colonial period is In the Mountains by Lee Hyo-seok. And during the Japanese colonial period, there were, of course, different periods within that. But Lee Hyo-seok wrote during that period in which the Japanese were really clamping down on anything that could be read politically.
Mm.
So very many authors at that time, and in fact, Lee originally wrote political works, but when the proletarian literature movement in Korea was suppressed by the Japanese, authors moved to less controversial subjects, out of the city, out of the politics. And in that case, this is the case of a story of a man who was forced out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little teeny bit of a question, you know, why is this guy where he is?
And often literature buffs or critics like to add hidden meanings.
Exactly. As you read that, you go, oh, why is this man in the mountain? And why are the mountains such a perfect place to him? So there's this implied criticism.
Yeah.
And then the second work from that period is by Che Man-sik, who also wrote My Innocent Uncle in Chinatown. And this is Constable Ming. And it's a pretty funny story of a constable who's just a little bit on the take, and his attempt to sort of place himself in terms of the end of Japanese colonialization, what it means to be corrupt, what it means to be non-corrupt. It ends with a slightly didactic final paragraph, but it's really light-hearted, and again, this is a good way to talk about these kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. So previous knowledge of Korean history is not necessary, but nevertheless, these stories do give some insight into Korean history. You get to know a little bit about Korean culture and history.
Exactly, and particularly in Constable Ming, where there are sort of explicit references to Japanese colonial period.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so after those stories, so where does the collection go?
Changes gears. It then has Weaver Woman by Oh Chang-hui. Oh Chang-hui, like Che Man-sik, has written a book called Chinatown. They are different if you see those.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is about a coming-of-age story. And she also wrote The Bronze Mirror, which is in the Land of Exile. And Weaver Woman is a meditation on barrenness in a neo-Confucian country. And Oh Chang-hui does something that many Korean writers do, and particularly many female Korean writers, and that is she has a kind of fractured structure to the story.
Oh.
And then the next story is stepping towards Pundan Munhak just a little bit, the separation literature of the Civil War and the post-Civil War era.
So that's where we jumped.
Yeah, that's where we kind of jumped. So all of the, both of these books, and we'll get to the second one some other time if we don't, both of these books kind of jump through history.
Uh-huh.
So they're little vignettes.
And you think the editor intended it that way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Bruce Fulton has actually been on this radio station before in an extended interview that I did with him, and he is extremely conversant with Korean culture and history, and his wife is Korean, and they actually are an editing team. So anything he does, basically, if you see that name, Bruce or Juchan Fulton, on a book of translations, it's worth picking up.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, the next book is by the absolutely awesome Korean author Park Won-soo, who unfortunately passed away, I think, 2 years ago now.
Very recently.
Yeah, a year or two. And she's probably most famous for Who Ate Up All the Shinga, her semi-autobiographical novel, and also In the Realm of the Buddha from the collection Red Room. But in this book, she does We Sell Shame, which is a good introduction to Park because it combines the two themes of her writing, the cost of the Korean Civil War and the separation with family relationships, both as a result of the Korean Civil War and as a result of the new middle-class featured economy, to which she adds a look at social life in general and ends with a really amusing attack on Hagwons and cram schools.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's super short. This is like a few pages.
A super short story that has a lot to say.
Yeah. I mean, Park Won-soo is a really remarkable writer who wrote in many different styles. And if you pick up one book, do not pigeonhole her by what you read in that book. Go on to read the other books. And then the longest work in the book is Prison of the Heart, which focuses on post-war splits. And it's basically a two brothers. One brother who was arrested as a political rebel, has his health fail because of it, and dies. Kim does a really good job of interweaving scenes between interweaving scenes of the history and themes of the present. And the story takes place, I should say, in 1989. This is also the beginning of that literature that looks back on the revolution or the rebellious eras of Korea and says, what did we gain?
Uh-huh.
Are we still the idealistic youths that we were there? And largely the answer here is that it isn't. That we aren't. The story contrasts all kinds of big ideas, Bible, Catholicism versus socialism, youth versus age, dreams versus reality. But the good thing that Kim does is he places all these big ideas firmly in the stories of the lives of his characters. And at the end, you end up kind of feeling sorry for the narrator who in some ways has softened and feels guilty that he wasn't really punished the way his brother was for his beliefs.
Mm. And then the collection addresses the modern and even postmodern fiction?
Yeah, it does. This is another reason I really like it. It's one of the few collections that really tries to come up to like 2010. And it has Kim Yong-ha, one of my favorite writers. Kim Yong-ha can be funny. He can be existential. And in this case, it's a little bit funny. It's a story of a little man, starts on the subway. Maybe he got a phone number from a girl. Maybe he didn't. His fiancée has left him for a new man and to go overseas. And he, as I say, he sees a woman who he feels is exactly his type. And Kim follows their story basically based around the pager. And then at the end, and I won't spoil it, but Kim Yong-ha just pulls the carpet out on this guy. And he is revealed to be exactly who you thought he was in the beginning.
It's called the pager.
Yeah, the pager for
what we used to call
old-fashioned
like
pager.
Yeah.
Right, you were talking about cassette tapes.
Yeah.
At some point, the pager will be taken out of the dictionary as well. And then into the really modern, Corpses by Pyeon Hye-young is a whodunit and horror story. Surreal.
Wow.
Really, really scary, too. One of the really difficult to translate horror and comedy, those kinds of things. This is really subtly done. And you have a narrator who you really can't trust. And his story is he's at work, but he's being repeatedly called out of the city to identify various body parts that might belong to his wife. She has drowned mysteriously on vacation, and every so often, some body part pops up, and the police assume it's her, and they call him down. And it gets super, super spooky at the end. I'm trying to think. H.P. Lovecraft maybe is a comparison here. Uh-huh. H.P. Lovecraft loved the water too. And at the end is surreal and scary. And it's I was unaware that there were horror – it doesn't make sense that there are, but I was unaware that there were really good horror stories in mm-hmm. Korean literature. Mm-hmm. This is one of those.
Okay.
And then The Glass Shield by Kim Chung-yok is creepy but in a different way because it's a story of – it's another one of those how society conspires to break relationship bonds. Two stories, inseparable friends who perform a very funny prank on the art world and society. This thrusts them into the limelight. And, of course, this tears them a relationship apart.
Mm.
So that sounds like those ideas don't go together, the funny and the relationship going apart. But, in fact, they really do.
Mm.
They really, really do.
What's your favorite story in the collection?
I don't think there's a question about this. I think pretty much every English reader that I've spoken to has had the same reaction to this. It's the title story, Wax and Wings.
Wax and Wings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wax and Wings by author Ha Sung-nan is – the waxen wings refer to the Icarus myth, attempting to fly too close to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be read as a fable of overreaching. It can be read to mean that you should be careful what you want. It can be read to demonstrate that even the most noble goals can have unexpected and sometimes tragic outcomes. And it can be read as a cautionary tale, just, you know, control your goals. In fact, it can be read a lot of ways. It's told in short sentences and flashbacks, and it begins in the present. Your watch says 3:14, mm-hmm. and then cuts back to a childhood memory of a child on a swing, and then follows this nameless narrator, the narrator is never named, through her lifelong quest, starting with that swing, to mm-hmm. defy gravity, essentially, to escape the surly bonds of Earth. As some famous poet, I can't remember who, once said. And when the conclusion comes, it's unexpected and poignant. And one of the real beauties of this story is that no matter how you read those approaches I talked about before, the ending will fit into all of them. So no matter how you want to read the story, the ending will validate you, which is a nice thing to do as an author for your reader.
Mm.
And it's also another beauty of the story that these kind of meanings and lessons are applied to anyone all over the rest of the world. And I sincerely hope that somewhere someone is doing more of Ha Sung-nan's translation because she was really, really good. And then the last thing that I would say is I want to talk about the introduction because the introduction is also useful if you're a beginner to Korean fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 9 pages long, but in it, Fulton just in a nutshell outlines the history of Korean modern literature that makes it understandable to a new reader. 9 pages, not super technical, not super historical, but brings it all together. And I would actually read the introduction maybe last.
Really?
The stories, right. So I get to read the stories as stories and then go back. This is just my own preference. And in fact, in other books, Fulton has done this. Fulton also oftentimes in his translations will put an afterword that explains because he doesn't want you to prejudge based on anything that he's saying.
Uh-huh. Are you able to notice the differences or the evolution of Korean fiction through these different periods?
You absolutely do, mm-hmm. and that was an important thing for me to realize. I had read other collections in which this happened too, but not quite so clearly as in this collection because in this collection you have the thoroughly modern stories. And it makes me wonder if it's time to move past the collections that attempt to cover all of Korean modern mm-hmm. history because it's become so vast and so untidy and so interesting. There are so many wormholes, so many places to go that it may just be time to start looking at things by section. I hate to do that because it's such an academic approach. But I think this may be the time to do it. And we'll see. There's a whole lot of other – as you know, there are a whole lot of other translations coming in the next year or two. So I hope that this happens. And however, I would like to come back to my original point that is if you did listen last week and it sounded like I listed a lot of things to look at, Wax and Wings is probably the one that you want to start with. And the other thing about it is Fulton went outside of the canon, as I mentioned, for themes. And the other really interesting thing in the first few stories is they are not familiar authors.
Mm.
These are authors who haven't been translated before, haven't been translated again and again and again. Kim Yoo-jung's Camellias has been translated many, many times.
Uh-huh.
Buckwheat Season has been translated many, many times. Hwang Soon-wan's Sonagi has been translated many times. These are all new ones. So my final message to the listener is, in the past, I would have recommended Land of Exile or Modern Korean Fiction, an anthology, to potential readers. And I would like to say those are still excellent books to read. They still do a really, really good job. And I should also say that Land of Exile was also edited by Bruce Fulton, so it has that mark of approval. But this book is has become the book now that to replace them as the introduction to Korean translated literature. I should also know that Wax and Wings is available on Amazon, and it's very inexpensive new, and it's even more inexpensive used.
Well, on that note, I want to ask you this. Why does that happen? Why do some works get translated over and over by different people when some works have never been translated?
Initially, and this has really changed, and partly this is a testament to LTI Korea, and partly this is a testament to commercial publishers. But initially, the impetus behind translation was to communicate Korean culture. And so some stories, you know, Sonagi, every middle school student reads, some stories were seen as so epically Korean that they needed to be translated. This had two effects. One, they were translated over and over again, but also because they were so epically Korean, they were all sometimes impossible to approach as a Korean reader. So this is a nice change. This book represents a really, really nice change.
Okay. What do you have for us next week? What have we got to look forward to?
Well, we're going to maybe do two things, but probably one. We're certainly going to look at the excellent fiction of Chae Yun and her Gwangju-based fiction.
Okay.
And we also may look, if not next week, the week after, a little bit at how social media can be used to further the causes of Korean literature in English.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks very much, Charles.
My pleasure as always.
Charles Montgomery, professor at Dongguk University and founder of KTLIT.com with Main Street Book Club. And we are going to wrap up this segment with music from a movie that is based on an Lee Chung-jun short story. The movie was called 나는 행복합니다. And this is Im Jae-beom with 사랑이라서.